Welcome in to the Tighten Up Podcast on the A to Z Sports Podcast Network.
I'm Jack Gentry alongside Austin Huff. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Jack A. Gentry. He's at Austin Huff. We are the Tighten Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tighten Up Pod. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Tighten Up Podcast. And as always, make sure you're following A to Z Sports on every social media platform.
This is Sode number 212, the Rudolph the backup QB had an important role. If things go real badly, we might even see him throw of Sodes. That one comes to us via Kyle Robinson, via K Robbie XC on Twitter, a great topper, always submitting some good Sode titles, including that one. He did note with this Sode title, he said, gotta sing it though. So you do like, so I had to sing that. So you can thank Kyle Robinson for kicking off your 212th episode of the Tighten Up Podcast with my very sore vocals. We had opening day yesterday for the Chicago Cubs, and we were out there with my radio show, and it was a long day, a lot of talking over things. And so my voice is feeling it today, but I'm playing injured. Like Jack Gentry doing a flu game every other week, I am playing injured this week, and I'm going to fight through it to get through it because we've got a lot to get through. Rand Carthon spoke with the media. Look, a lot different than last year already, where he's already getting out and having press conferences in front of the media. Obviously, he learned from year one and is changing that right off the get-go, and he's saying some things. And then of course, L'Jarius Sneed introduced for the Titans. Going to get into the Christian Fulton, was he hacked, comments on Instagram. Look, I don't know. And then also Mike Vrabel was found sad at a casino, which we will get to, of course, as well. But before we get to all of that, let's get a word from our friends at BetMGM.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code A to Z Sports and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props if you want to bet Zach Edey's free throws in his next game, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Find out why BetMGM is a king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Too soon to bring up Zach Edey with all of the Vols fans we have listening to this podcast. But with all of that said, let's talk Titans.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
What is up, Flameheads? Welcome into the Titan Up Podcast. Today is April 3rd, 2024. And, Jack, you know, last week, we had our first 40-minute podcast. We got the entire podcast in under 40 minutes, okay? Some might call it 40 minutes of hell. To that, we'd say thank you for listening, Mom. For anyone else, we are back and we're going to try and do it 2 weeks in a row. Can we do it? You know, it's like the Titans trying to string together two wins in a row in 2023. Is it possible? Probably not, but we're going to try. So
we're going to do our best.
And we're going to do our best. You know,
it's been an interesting offseason, not just because of the Titans moves, but now you have these introductory press conferences, Rand Carthon speaking a whole lot more than we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mike Vrabel's in the casino gambling. It's going to be a fun episode. I can already tell. We've had conversations before this thing started, and I'm ready to dive straight into it.
Let's dive straight into it, Jack. Let's get wet. That was weird. I shouldn't have said that. I'm having a rough start to this Sode. I think it's
Is it because Kim Mulkey was eliminated last night?
Yeah,
does that have anything to do with
what am I going to wear to a Cubs game this year, Jack? You know,
You're really in a bind.
I'm really in a bind. I need Iowa's head coach to wear something really ridiculous for the Final Four. All right. Jack.
By the way, can I say something about that real quick? Iowa's coaching staff has the most Karen haircuts across the board that you'll ever see.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that is crazy Karens.
Big mad PE teacher vibes from their their coaching staff.
It's
for
the
sure.
Jane Lynch cut. Like that's like a requirement to be on the bench for Iowa.
Right. They're like, all right. You have the qualifications to coach here at Iowa. Can you get your hair cut? And if so, when can you start?
I'm going to get a haircut that is so toxic.
Speaking of haircuts, or lack thereof, having any hair, Rand Carthon, he met with the media today, which again, and I kind of said this in the cold open, but it's cool to see that Rand Carthon is already, I feel like in 2024, met with the press probably as many times as he met with them in 2023. At least it feels that way. And he did talk about that after Vrabel was fired, about how, you know, he's learning on the job. And I think one of the things he learned was having more transparency with the media so he could be viewed more favorably. Obviously, there's some people that still can't stand him. What's up, Jared Stoneman? But there's, I think that was his way of like saying, okay, look, I did not do well enough last year in this, so I'm going to do it more. And he did it more. And he already came out and he shared a fantastic story of the signing of Calvin Ridley that the Titans shared to their Twitter account that you can watch, or we'll just play it for you right here.
And so to actually have the opportunity to even consider him was something that we had a part of our plan, but it was in our mind, really, it was more of a pipe dream. You know, like, can we afford these guys and get, you know, Ridley? And it initially started with a conversation with myself and Chad. And I won't go into the details of how that conversation started. I'm laughing because Chad's over here and he knows it. But it was one of those things where we agreed to talk the next day. You know, let's just say it that way. Like, let's just talk about it in the morning. And then it led to a conversation with myself and Callie that same night. And on my drive home, I talked to Miss Amy about it. You know, because again, we like to keep her in the loop of all things. And so we came in the next morning and everybody kind of had that look like, let's do it. You know, let's try. And we did. And, you know, we were able to pull it off. And
so there you go. It was like an all hands on deck type situation for Calvin Ridley. And I really like the transparency there, Jack.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, I at Easter Sunday, you know, I had Jim Wyatt in the building and I was like,
name drop.
I said, Uncle Jim, I mean, your workplace has completely transformed. Everybody's talking, everybody's having fun, and they're telling it how it is. Like, that's got to be really cool for you. You know, somebody who has to, you know, write about the happenings inside the building. And
right.
He was like, yeah, I mean, this is really, it's pretty great. And this is another example of that. Like, I don't know that we get this story if Mike Vrabel in that regime is still, you know, involved with the Titans. But because Rand Carthon felt comfortable about telling them how the process went, it was really cool. You know, I think it was nuts that it sounded like him and Chad Brinker, who's Carthon's Robin, essentially, I mean, it sounded like in that quote that they butted heads about the idea because they'd already spent so much money. And they said, you know what, we'll table it. We're going to come back tomorrow, you know, forget everything that happened. We're going to come back tomorrow and talk about it again. And on the way home, Rand Carthon called Brian Callahan. And he called owner Amy Adams Strunk, which is very cool. John Robinson, if he would have done that, you know, before he made his trades, I think he might still be here. But
maybe we'd be in a totally different situation.
Yeah. But I think it's cool that, you know, he went and picked the brain of everyone else after talking to Brinker about it. And, you know, I know the budget was tight because of how much they've spent. And, you know, there's a number on it. The Titans have spent over $50 million more than the next closest team this offseason. The Titans this offseason have spent $306.4 million. Okay? Carolina
that's a lot of
is
money.
Second with $255 million.
That is insane, and that is absurd. That is it's kind of like what the Dodgers did this offseason versus the rest of baseball. Like, right? Went out and spent like over $1 billion in offseason, and for a team where the Titans were at, look, it takes money to make money. So I'm all for them going out and saying, all right, yeah, let's drop some coin.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are in a position, or were in a position heading into the offseason, to win a World Series with what they already had. And it's cool that right. The Titans are willing to spend this money and essentially go all in when their championship window hasn't really opened yet. Rand Carthon's kind of conducting this offseason as if the Titans are in a win-now mode, which is what you should do as a GM, even if your team is coming off a 6-win season. Because you want to put the weapons around Will Levis. You want to get this team on the fast track to compete for that AFC South title, which is gettable in this division. I know the Texans are looking good, and they had a big year last year, and C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, all this and all that. But the Titans can catch up, and Rand Carthon isn't sitting on his hands and saying, you know what, we'll save some money here for next offseason. To hell with that. We're spending all we got because we want to get good now. We don't want to wait around. We got a new stadium coming. Look, we got a quarterback on a rookie deal. It's time to seize the moment, and that's what they've done.
That just shows you that you know, that furthers our point about Amy Adams, Strunk, and her commitment to winning and not sitting on her hands when things are going awry, like many owners in the NFL do. She's like, no, screw this. Oh, you're on a 6-18 game slide, Mike Vrabel? Sorry, but here's the door. And I'm going to, and I think you made a great point earlier about the Rand Carthon's transparency probably wouldn't be happening if Mike Vrabel was still here. I think with letting Vrabel go, you are giving Rand Carthon more ownership into this team, because it wasn't Vrabel was already hired and Rand Carthon came aboard. It was, you know, now that Vrabel's gone, Rand Carthon's like, no, this is now, like, I'm taking the keys. This is my franchise, and I'm going to treat it as such. I'm going to bring in my guy, Brian Callahan, and I'm going to take ownership in things that I do, and I'm going to be more transparent than I was last year, because gone are the days of the Patriot way that Vrabel brought in to Nashville. And don't get me wrong, it did work for a while, but much like it did in New England, times change, and it's no longer the way, which is why Belichick was shut on the door. So I think the Titans are at a really healthy spot right now, and their willingness to spend all of that cash just goes to say it. And one of the guys that they spent that much money on, L'Jarius Sneed, with the trade and then giving him a new contract, a 3-year deal, is going to make him totally invested into this ball club, wanting to win another Super Bowl for him and the Titans first. So I love that. And I know, kind of like the big knock on L'Jarius Sneed coming in, what's his health like? Because there was a lot of practices he missed last year. You know, like he only sat out a couple of games, which, you know, late in the season and when there was no playoff implications on the line. But he did miss a lot of practice time last year. So is that knee healthy enough? Well, he was asked about that in his introductory press conference.
Ain't nothing wrong with my knee. I'm fine. You know, I played the whole season. And years before that, I played as well. You know, I had a couple of problems. And I had banged up knee before. But I'm good right now. Nothing's really wrong with my knee.
So it's not a situation that you have to manage going forward.
You know, I know what to do with my knee. You know, I'm coming out here to play ball.
Gotcha. So it was like a no, that felt like a no, but, right? You know, like it's like a no, but, you know, like he wanted to dispel any doubt in his knee. But as he was like kind of pressed a little bit further, it was like, oh, okay. So maybe there is something there. Like maybe it does need to be managed. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, but I've done it before. You know, I've overcome this issue before. So even if it crops up again, then, you know, you feel like you're in a good spot with Sneed because he's already gone through a Super Bowl season. It's a long season for a cornerback with tough knees.
Yeah.
And to be able to load manage his way through practices. Look, I don't care if L'Jarius Sneed doesn't practice a day. As long as he shows up on Sundays and locks down the other team's best receiver, that's all I care about. I know it's important in a new scheme to get experience in practice. And I think they'll do that the right way without pressing him. But, you know, knowing that this might be a concern, I'm not even saying that it is a concern because it might be, right? I think that that gives the Titans an advantage to where they say, you know what, if Snead needs to hang it up on Friday or Thursday, we'll allow him to do that. We'll walk. Yeah. We'll get him in the walkthroughs. I like that. And, you know, I think what he said, too, in that press conference, he said that he's already comfortable with Rand Carthon after one meeting. And that goes back to your point about the transparency thing. Like, what is Rand Carthon's best strength besides his bone structure in his face? His personality.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, right? Like, because you, yeah, you his welcomingness. I've never met the guy, but he feels like a teddy bear in a sense, a teddy bear that could kick your ass, but a teddy bear that is, you know, welcoming and like you feel comfortable around.
Yeah. So by giving him more opportunities to speak, you know, that starts to kind of shine through. And then Rand Carthon now is this known face in the NFL where players are even recognizing like, man, you know, he seems like a cool guy to go play under. And I think that that's kind of what Snead's experiencing right now. But that just opens the door for more big time free agents. You know, maybe some more of the of Snead's old teammates, or you know, Kenneth Murray's old teammates, or Cushenberry's old teammates hear how the way Rand Carthon's running things in the Titans building, and that opens the door for another wave of free agents in the next few seasons to come in, because it's an environment that's conducive to like family, to togetherness, and at the end of the day, success is what matters most. And Rand Carthon's prioritizing all of that by spending all this money, making these players feel at home. And I just go back to the video of Callahan getting out of his Cadillac with his family and meeting Rand Carthon for the first time in person. And that was like, wow, like Rand Carthon is already the uncle to these children. Like he's already like that close to Callahan's children. Like this is a guy who can really get along with a wall. And I think that that's important to have in a GM seat where, you know, players are kind of choosing between, do I want to go to the Titans or do I want to go to the Colts? Well, the Colts have a crazy owner and a GM with a weird track record. The Titans have a GM that really is cool as shit, and I want to go play under him. I think that that's going to matter down the road.
Yeah, he's a Teddy Ruxpin. He's a Teddy Ranspin, if you will. Does that reference goes right over your head, doesn't it?
Right over, right. You knew
that it was like a toy from the 80s, so naturally. You weren't born for like two more decades, so... But anyone who is super old will know the Teddy Ruxpin reference.
Are you an 80s baby? You're not an 80s baby, are you?
I was born in the 80s. I would say I'm more of a 90s kid.
Yeah.
Grew up in the 90s. Yeah. So
really?
Okay. Yeah, about 10 years before you were born was when I was
I'm a 28-year-old boy.
You were born in 2003, right?
96.
Oh, 96. Okay. All
just right. Missed the Braves World Series, yeah.
Yeah, and the Atlanta Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And TWA Flight 900 going down.
That one I'm not upset about missing.
You have no idea what I'm talking about when I say that, right?
No, no clue.
That was a wild summer. That was a wild summer because you had the Atlanta Olympics, the bombing at the Atlanta Olympics. Mm-hmm. You had the... You had the TWA flight. I believe it was TWA flight 900. It goes down in the middle of the ocean, and then Braves win a World Series that year. So
team of the 90s, they only got one.
Just wild times. Anyway, did not think we were gonna get a TWA flight 900 reference on this podcast.
That
but
was
that's
all
why
you.
You
that's all you. That's I didn't,
why
I didn't
you
egg you on there. That was
that
was
is why you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, because we are the only Titans podcast that will bring up random plane wrecks from the 90s. Rate, review, subscribe. Remember, give us 4.5 stars to the Titan Up idiots and 0.5 stars to Buck.
But back to Snead, you know, this is a secondary now that's going to be locked in for the next at least 2 years, because you got a Woozie on a 2-year deal with essentially a team option for that third season. You know, Legarius Sneed's on a 4-year deal. We'll see if the team has a potential out at any of that time. But McCreary's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. Hooker's here for at least 2 more years, and then he becomes a UFA. We'll see if the Titans end up bringing him back. But this is a secondary that's going to be able to grow together, not just this year, but be able to win together in the following season as well. So that's really exciting for me. Because, you know, a lot of these teams in the NFL, you have a good cornerback and, his contract expires and he's gone because someone else wants to pay him top market value. Well, the Titans just did that to two dudes, right? They have two of the top 14 highest paid cornerbacks on their roster, and they are locked in for the next couple years. That's really exciting for me, and it's going to create a secondary that is going to really be able to do some damage against opposing quarterbacks.
Now, one question for this defense is, who's going to get the green dot? Mm-hmm. And if you know about the green dot, it's basically the communication system that is put into one helmet on your defense. Yeah, exactly. The quarterback gets one on offense, and that's why he can get the plays radioed right into his helmet. There's usually a linebacker. A lot of times an inside linebacker will be the kind of captain of the defense. He'll get the defensive play called into his helmet and then, tell the team, obviously. Now, Rand Carthon was kind of asked about this, and here's what he said.
It's all about the person and the type of player. I've been my first year in Atlanta. We had a rookie second round pick in Curtis Lofton. That was our Mike backer, but he was lying next to a veteran in Keith Brookie as our wheel backer. And Keith wore the communicator that first year, and then Curtis took it over that second year. So, it's about the person. You have some rookies. Fred Warner, I was a part of drafting. His first year, he was the green dot. So it's all about that person, what that person's comfortable with. And if they're able to handle the communication and they're a three-down player, then they'll be out there. I've seen teams, I want to say it was Eric Weddle, when he was with the Chargers and when he was with the Rams, he wore the green dot. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a linebacker that does the communication. It's just about finding that person that's going to be able to do that and still effectively do their job.
Is there consideration for Kenneth Murray to wear that, or that's something you
know? No, we hadn't crossed that bridge yet. Okay. Honestly, we don't even have K-9 in the building right now. So he'll be here next week. And once they're able to get with our coaches, I totally trust Coach Bush and Denard to figure out who's going to be the best to lead that group and get them lined up.
So it's interesting to me that I feel like the Titans can go a number of ways here. Maybe they go the safety route, which is a little more uncommon, but you get an Armani Hooker as your green dot guy.
Yeah,
Jack, you and I were kind of.
Maybe, and the Titans haven't exactly patched up that second safety spot, that free safety spot. Yeah. And Weddle was a free safety when he wore the green dot. And, that's a guy who sees everything, who knows how to read an offense, who can make adjustments if he sees something. And they don't really have a guy that they feel comfortable with in that role right now. They're still poking around. They brought in Marcus May on a visit. They hadn't signed him yet. Justin Simmons still out there, a guy who I could see wearing the green dot if they can't find an inside linebacker or they have to draft a rookie to plug in that hole.
Yeah, yep. I thought that was interesting what he said about how Fred Warner was a guy that they drafted in San Francisco. And obviously we know what kind of beast Fred Warner is in the
second
NFL today. But yeah,
they gave him the
dot. And he got the green dot his rookie season. So, I mean, look, I'm all for it. If you can bring in a rookie that feels comfortable enough, that's a tall ask for a rookie. But if you've got a guy that knows defenses well enough, why not? Give it to someone who can truly quarterback the defense. And that may be a rookie with just a great football mind, or it could be your safety, Armani Hooker. I think we would all trust Armani Hooker to.
You're calling him Armani? Armani Hooker?
Armani, yeah. It's a really.
Armani.
No. Armani. Armani, it's an upscale version.
That is a high class. Yeah, and he's playing like an Armani,
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. When he is playing right, it's Armani Hooker. And when he is just throwing a shoulder at Patrick Mahomes on a touchdown run just before halftime in the AFC Championship, then he's Armani Hooker.
Okay, all right. So his name changes based on his level of play.
Yeah, even a mini hooker, if you will.
Oh, okay. A third level. Yeah. I like this. But right. back to the green dot conversation. The inside linebacker it's kind of like the running back position in the NFL draft, right? Like nobody's going and getting an inside linebacker in the top 20 picks usually, or really, especially in the top 10. Like those right. guys tend to slip a little bit. And there's a guy coming out of A&M named Edgerrin Cooper, who is viewed as probably the best inside linebacker in this draft. And with a high second round pick, he could slip to the Titans. And, you know, I know that a lot of people have been talking, well, you need an offensive lineman, you need a wide receiver. Whichever comes first, those are your first two picks. But what if they're not? What if they're not? What if
that's what we said last year. That's what we said last year. We need an offensive lineman and a wide receiver. And what did they do? They went offensive lineman and then Will Levis. What the? Like, I think we have to reserve that second round draft pick for a quarterback. It's become a tradition. It's an annual tradition that Titans fans, we have to come to know and love. I don't know who the quarterback will be this year, but the Titans are going to trade up to draft a quarterback in the second round this year.
A quarterback and a tight end 3 years in a row. Let's see it happen.
Yeah.
But Edgerrin Cooper is a guy that could really slide into that role. He's got 4-5 speed. And, you know, Gibbons would be the other guy that would slide in there, but you really need a guy that's a three-down backer who's fast enough to go sideline to sideline and make all the plays you need to make and kind of be a tackle machine out there. Edgerrin Cooper is that and then some. So if you're able to land a Joe Alt or a Malik Nabers in that first round, and I think that Joe Alt's probably the more pressing need now that you've gone out and gotten Ridley, then Edgerrin Cooper coming in, I mean, that essentially kind of fixes any problem that you had in that linebacker room. And really, it's one of the last missing puzzle pieces to a complete defense, right? So if they do go Edgerrin Cooper in the second round out of A&M, I think that would fill a major hole and, you know, set the Titans up for success on the defensive side of the ball.
Jack, are you doing a mock draft here on this podcast?
I've got to be honest with you, Austin. I've been premeditating something. I'm going to cook something up here, and it's coming straight to you. And I'm really like hoping this. That creates a wave of reactions, you know, the butterfly effect, if you will. I send a mock draft and everybody sends Austin a mock draft. I've got something in my sleeve. I think you'll like it.
I am not falling for this. There's nothing in this world I hate more than
what if
mock
I put
drafts.
A Mizzou guy on there?
Which Mizzou guy?
Harrison Meavis.
Then I'm in. Good pick number one, pick number seven in the first round. Hell yeah. All right, I'm back in. I'll do a mock draft then. Look, I'll tell you what. Speaking of defensive guys that aren't communicating well, I don't know. Christian Fulton, friend of the team, of the franchise, shipped out to Los Angeles, signed a deal with the Los Angeles Chargers. And on his way out the door, we discovered a, I believe now deleted, Instagram comment where he was replying to someone named Wild Bill 2. And Christian Fulton said, like I said, you gave an opinion, the Titans isn't a winning organization. Y'all went to the Super Bowl in 2000. Like, be effing for real. And then all these crying, laughing emojis. Now, this is... he is... Say that again?
Little sour grapes there from our guy.
Yeah, oh, for some certain sour grapes.
Former partner of the pod, by the way.
Elite yeah, that's
Water.
Right.
You remember the Elite Water days in the trenches?
Oh, yeah, that was a former sponsor, right.
By the way, good family. Christian Fulton's got a great family. They're good people.
Great family.
This comment's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, and it probably should.
But according to Christian Fulton, he didn't make this comment. He was hacked. That's right. We got hit with the old-fashioned "I was hacked" excuse. Now, I'm gonna take this at all angles. Okay, if he was allegedly hacked, I'm gonna explore that opportunity right here, right now. Okay, I'm gonna explore that possibility. I do think it's funny, just at face value, that he is ripping the Titans organization for not having been to a Super Bowl since 2000, immediately after signing a deal with a franchise that has not been to a Super Bowl in Jack's lifetime since 1994. Super Bowl 29, 5 years prior to the Titans going to the Super Bowl, was the last time the then San Diego Chargers were in a Super Bowl. Do you want to know how long ago that was? Indiana Jones did a halftime show with not Burt Reynolds. Jimmy Buffett, I think, did the halftime, like did like a number during this halftime show. Just
rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Yeah. Look, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Go ahead and pour one out for him. Just the lack of self-awareness has me thinking maybe he was hacked, you know? Maybe this was
maybe
artificial intelligence. So, because you never know these days. Everything these days is AI, which I'd be willing to bet on my life that this was artificial intelligence. I'm not saying Christian Fulton didn't send that comment. I'm saying Christian Fulton has artificial intelligence. That's what I'm saying.
Do you think Elon chipped him or something?
No. I'm just saying his intelligence is definitely artificial. It is not entirely what you're saying. Yeah, right. Well, so, it is.
You know, Teron came out, and Teron's close with him and his family. And Teron kind of vouched for him. He said, you know what? He was hacked. And I just don't buy it. Unless the guy that hacked Christian Fulton's account was a Colts fan. Because why would you take a jab at the – why would a hacker – you're already in Christian Fulton's account, right, with hundreds – maybe not hundreds of – but tens of thousands of followers. And you choose, once you get access to his account, to then comment something negatively about his former team? That doesn't sound like hacking to me.
No, you know what? No, Christian Fulton, this is what you need to do, man, all right? To prove that you were hacked, okay? Whether you were or whether you weren't, all right? You need to lean into this. Here's some social media advice 101, Christian Fulton. Lean into the idea that you were hacked and start commenting on every account that you follow, every post that you
see. Nudes in bio?
Nudes in bio, okay? You want some steamy feet pics? Check the link in bio. Okay, you want to see me take this off, Big Daddy? Check your DMs for more info. Like I'm like lean the hell in. In fact, change your profile picture to you in some like boudoir photo shoot. Okay, like get saucy with it, Christian Fulton, and let's really lean into this. Let's make this a thing. And then we'll be like, well, dang, I guess that comment about the Titans not winning a Super Bowl since 2000 was a hack job by him.
That's Taylor Swift level PR right there, Austin. By the way, Austin Huff is available for any part-time PR work that you might need.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's an excellent plan. You've got if you're hacked, you know, get hacked. Do what the hackers do. Don't go comment on a Titans troll fan on Instagram talking bad about him. And I'm going to get a lot of heat for this because Titans fans don't like Christian Fulton. I mean, it's blatantly obvious. The way he played last year, talking online.
Yeah.
I think there's still a good player there. I think Christian Fulton is going to be a decent, at least serviceable cornerback in LA. But this type of stuff, I think it was only deleted because he later realized, because Christian Fulton's younger than I am.
Right.
He then realized that the Chargers hadn't made a Super Bowl in his lifetime either.
Yeah. What kind of hacker hacks into someone's account, leaves one comment, and then's like, I'm done for the day. Log out.
That'll do.
Wait, come on, dude. Come on.
Be a better hacker.
Anyway, speaking of hacks, Mike Vrabel.
Oh.
Sighting. That was mean. We got a Mike Vrabel sighting in a casino, and boy, was he looking sad. In fact, if you would have just told me, Jack, without seeing the photo, if you would have just said, hey, there was a Mike Vrabel sighting, I my first guess would have been sat in a casino.
Yeah, that's number one on your list.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, you don't get a job as a consultant with the Browns and appear somewhere happy, okay? You're not going to be at a concert living it up, okay? Mm. You're going to be at a casino. You're going to be drowned like probably two or three scotches deep, and you're going to just be wallowing away. And according to the person who snapped the photo, I believe TMZ had the photo, the report on the photo was that he allegedly, quote, seemed to not be winning much, end quote, while playing, okay?
That is such a mean quote about a guy sitting at a casino table.
Yeah, you think he wasn't winning much?
Is anyone in there winning much?
When was the last time we saw Mike Vrabel winning much at anything? Let alone at
he did go out on a win.
I mean, okay, fair enough. That's fair rebuttal.
He left while he was ahead.
I just think it's so funny, and I know I don't know if you saw Nick Wright on FS1 like made a side comment about how the Titans might end up with the number one overall pick next year.
I try and black anything Nick Wright says out.
That's okay. Well, you're a better man than me because that guy just shows up way too much in my timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
and
a cockroach.
He apparently made a comment on like First Things First or whatever their show is called, where it's him and Chris Broussard who didn't know that Taylor Lewan or what was it, Roger Saffold was a Tennessee Titan. Anyway,
yeah, Lewan. They called Taylor Lewan Taylor Lewan.
Yeah. He made a comment saying the Titans might end up with the number one overall draft pick because they're a poorly run franchise. He said that, a poorly run franchise. Now, look, if I covered the Titans from a 40,000-foot level, I would maybe see, like, the handwriting on the wall. They traded A.J. Brown. They've gone through two GMs. They're now on their second GM in the last 4 years. They're on their second head coach in the last 4 years. They fired a guy who is believed to be this great football genius in Mike Vrabel. But people forget to realize they went 6-18 down the stretch. 6-18 down the stretch. Mike Vrabel, that look that he gave at that craps table. That was the look we had seen on Sundays every single week for the last year and a half. He blew a 4-game lead in the division. He had a 7-game losing streak to end the year last year. Couldn't even run into a single win in that stretch. And now all of a sudden, like, people are like, the Titans are done for letting him go. I don't know how many times we have to say it. I guess the Titans just have to prove it on the field. But that sad Mike Vrabel at the craps table looked a lot like sad Mike Vrabel on Sunday afternoons. Just the only difference, one of the images, he wears a blue vest with a Titans logo on it.
The windbreaker. Yeah.
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 You know what I'm talking about with the long white sleeves.
I feel for Mike Vrabel. You know, there's no corner pubs in Cleveland, I assume. So it's going to be a long year up there. But to Nick Wright's comment, like, the Titans are a poorly run organization. I know it's been bad the last couple of years, but before that, they rattled off 6 straight seasons of winning football. Like, they won at least 9 games in each of the previous 6 seasons, 2 division titles, 1 trip to the AFC Championship game. Poorly run organizations don't do that and don't have success, continued success, like the Titans did outside of these last 2 seasons.
Look, I will give Nick Wright credit. If anyone knows a poorly run organization, it's a guy who hosts First Things First on Fox Sports 1. Okay? All right? So he would know better than anyone. But to say that the Titans are a poorly run franchise when he himself is a massive KC honk, a massive KC homer where he fangirls out at practices, or excuse me, at the parades after they win the Super Bowl. Dude, you of all people should know that the Titans are a pretty well-run franchise considering how well they play the Chiefs in the last, 6 or 7 meetings? That I do not understand. However,
asking Nick Wright about poorly run organizations is kind of like asking your fat friend at the wedding, you know, what food on the buffet is good? Where should I go? What are you liking? Because you're going to take his word as scripture. You're getting what he got, what he likes.
Now, I go saying all this stuff that the Titans are not a poorly run franchise when it was just announced recently that the Tennessee Titans have inked a deal, a long-term merchandise deal with Fanatics.
So
guys,
bad.
This might be worse than the AJ Brown trade. I'm serious in this. This is a terrible, terrible decision. Now, PK did follow this up by saying it is not a merchandise, I guess. But for him to, but it is a partnership nonetheless, and they will play a key role in the design and build out the retail footprint inside the new Nissan Stadium. So gone is the Tennessee Titans locker room store, and now Fanatics is taking over. Fanatics is radioactive right now. You shouldn't come within a 10-foot pole of
just
them.
Look at the base. Look at MLB teams in their like the Rockies purple doesn't even match the purple on their hat.
It's so
Fanatics
bad.
Has ruined baseball uniforms. And
Fanatics has ruined all sports merchandising.
Bad decision.
With that said, we got to get out of here. I don't know if I'm going to get out of here in 4 minutes or less. Follow the podcast at Titan Up Pod on Twitter, at Titan Up Podcast on Instagram. Follow Jack A. Gentry. Follow me at Austin Huff. And of course, follow A to Z Sports on all the socials at A to Z Sports. Until next week. No, wait, Jack, do you got anything for the road?
Nothing for the road.
Okay, until next week. Tighten up!
Tighten up!
They're the Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans.